Hare Krishna, welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Kramgiridhari Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 25th chapter 151 verse onwards. Hare Krishna Ramgiridhari Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for joining and giving your valuable association and time this morning. Please take over the call Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Call, Hare Krishna.
You're helping people around the world communicate for free. The recording has started.
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me?
Yes, Prabhu, for the record, did you join from the two devices?
No, I am. Can you hear me now?
Now it's perfect, Prabhu. Now it's perfect.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaurabha Vrinda. So, we are discussing from Madhya Leela, chapter 25, text 151. Nigamakalpataror Galitam Phalam Sukamukad Amrita Dravya Samyutam Vipada Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvibhavukam. Translation: the Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic literatures and it is considered the ripened fruit of the wish-fulfilling tree of Vedic knowledge. It has been sweetened by emanating from the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami. You who are thoughtful and who relish mellows should always try to taste this ripened fruit. O thoughtful devotees, as long as you are not absorbed in transcendental bliss, you should continue tasting this Srimad Bhagavatam. And when you are fully absorbed in bliss, you can go on tasting its mellows forever. Purport: this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.3. Let me read the purport of 1.1.3. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In the previous two shlokas, it has been definitely proved that the Srimad Bhagavatam is a sublime literature which surpasses all Vedic scriptures due to its transcendental qualities. It is transcendental to all mundane activities and mundane knowledge. In this shloka, it is stated that Srimad Bhagavatam is not only a superior literature, but is the ripened fruit of Vedic literatures. In other words, it is the cream of all Vedic knowledge. Considering all this, patient and submissive hearing is definitely essential. With great respect and attention, one should receive the message and lessons imparted by Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vedas are compared to the desire tree because they contain all things noble by man. They deal with mundane necessities as well as spiritual realization. The Vedas contain regulative principles of knowledge covering social, political, religious, economic, military, medicinal, chemical, physical, and metaphysical subject matter and all that may be necessary to keep the body and soul together. Above and beyond all this or specific directions for spiritual realization. Regulative knowledge involves a gradual raising of the living entity to the spiritual platform, and the highest spiritual realization is knowledge that the personality of Godhead is a reservoir of all spiritual tastes or rasas. Every living entity beginning from Brahma, the firstborn living being within the material world, down to the insignificant ant, desires to relish some sort of taste derived from sense perceptions. These sensual pleasures are technically called rasas. Such rasas are different or of different varieties. In the revealed scriptures, the following 12 varieties of rasas are enumerated: Raudra, Adbhuta, Shringara, Hasya, Veera, Dasya, Sakya, Bhayanaka, Vibhatasha, Shanta, Vatsalya. The sum total of all these rasas is called affection or love. Primarily, such signs of love are manifested in adoration, service, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. And when these five are absent, love is present indirectly in anger, wonder, comedy, chivalry, fear, shock, and so on. For example, when a man is in love with a woman, the rasa is called conjugal love. But when such love affairs are disturbed, there may be wonder, anger, shock, or even horror. Sometimes love affairs between two persons culminate in ghastly murder scenes. Such rasas are displayed between man and man and between animal and animal. There is no possibility of exchange or rasa between a man and animal or between a man and other species of living beings within the material world. The rasas are exchanged between the members of the same species. But as far as the spirit souls are concerned, they are one qualitatively with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the rasas were originally exchanged between the spiritual living being and the spiritual whole, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual exchange or rasa is fully exhibited in spiritual existence between living beings and the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is therefore described in the Shruti Mantras, Vedic hymns, as the fountainhead of all the rasas. When one associates with the Supreme Lord and exchanges one's constitutional rasa with the Lord, then the living being is actually happy. These Shruti Mantras indicate that every living being has its constitutional position, which is endowed with a particular type of rasa to be exchanged with the personality of Godhead. In the liberated condition only, this primary rasa is experienced in full. In the material existence, the rasa is experienced in the perverted form, which is temporary, and thus the rasas of the material world are exhibited in the material form of Raudra and so on. Therefore, one who attains full knowledge of these different rasas, which are the basic principles of manifestation, can understand the false representations of the original rasas which are reflected in the material world. The learned scholars seek to relish the real rasa in the spiritual form. In the beginning, he desires to become one with the Supreme. Thus, less intelligent transcendentalists cannot go beyond this conception of becoming one with the spirit whole without knowing of the different rasas. In this shloka, it is definitely stated that the spiritual rasa, which is relished even in the liberated state, can be experienced in the literature of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Due to its being the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge, by submissively hearing this transcendental literature, one can attain the full pleasure of his heart's desire but one must be very careful to hear the message from the right source. Srimad Bhagavatam is exactly received from the right source. It was brought by Narada Muni from the spiritual world and given to his disciple Sri Vyasadeva. The latter in turn delivered the message to his son Srila Sukadeva Goswami. And Srila Sukadeva Goswami delivered the message to Maharaj Parikshit just 7 days before the king's death. Srila Sukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul from his very birth. He was liberated even in the womb of his mother, and he did not undergo any sort of spiritual training after his birth. At birth, no one is qualified neither in the mundane nor in the spiritual sense. But Srila Sukadeva Goswami, due to his being a perfectly liberated soul, did not have to undergo an evolutionary process of spiritual realization. Yet, despite his being a completely liberated person, situated in the transcendental position above the three material modes, he was attracted to this transcendental rasa of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is adored by liberated souls who sing Vedic hymns. The Supreme Lord's pastimes are more attractive to the liberated souls than to the mundane people. He is of necessity not impersonal, because it is only possible to carry on the transcendental rasa with a person. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are narrated. The narration is systematically depicted by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Thus, the subject matter is appealing to all classes of persons, including those who seek liberation and those who seek to become one with the Supreme Whole. In Sanskrit, the parrot is also known as Sukha. When a ripened fruit is cut by the red beaks of such birds, its sweet flavor is enhanced. The Vedic fruit, which is mature and ripe in the knowledge, is spoken through the lips of Sukadeva Goswami, who is compared to the parrot not for his ability to recite Srimad Bhagavatam exactly as he heard from his learned father, but for his ability to present the work in a manner that would appeal to all classes of men. The subject matter is so presented through the lips of Sri Sukadeva Goswami that any sincere listener that hears submissively can at once relish transcendental tastes, which are distinct from the perverted tastes of this material world. The ripened fruit is not dropped all of a sudden from the highest planet of Krishna Loka. Rather, it has come down carefully through the chain of disciplic succession without change or disturbance. Foolish people who are not in the transcendental disciplic succession commit great blunder by trying to understand the highest transcendental rasa known as the Rasa dance without following in the footsteps of Sri Sukadeva Goswami, who presents this fruit very carefully by the stages of transcendental realization. One should be intelligent enough to know the position of Srimad Bhagavatam by considering personalities like Sukadeva Goswami, who deals with the subject so carefully. This process of disciplic succession of the Bhagavata school suggests that in the future also, Srimad Bhagavatam has to be understood from a person who is factually a representative of Sukadeva Goswami. A professional man who makes a business out of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam illegally is certainly not a representative of Sukadeva Goswami. Such a man's business is only to earn his livelihood. Therefore, one should refrain from hearing the lectures of such professional men. Such men usually go to the most confidential part of the literature without undergoing the gradual process of understanding this grave subject. They usually plunge into the subject matter of the rasa dance, which is misunderstood by the foolish class of men. Some of them take this to be immoral, while others try to cover it up by their own stupid interpretations. They have no desire to follow in the footsteps of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. One should conclude, therefore, that the serious student of the rasa should receive this message of Bhagavatam in the chain of disciplic succession from Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who describes the Bhagavatam from its very beginning, and not whimsically to satisfy the mundaner who has very little knowledge in the transcendental science. Srimad Bhagavatam is so carefully presented that a sincere and a serious person can at once enjoy the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge simply by drinking the nectarian juice through the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami or his bona fide representative. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namahom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are discussing the most famous, important, and also a very special subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. The subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam has been doing rounds for several sessions in our journey in Krishna consciousness. So today, I'm not sure if anything that I'm going to say is that you will all not be knowing, but today we will discuss some aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam through which we will reiterate as well as re-inspire each of us into the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami says that there are 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya manmantare ishanugata nirodha bhaktirashraya. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya. So the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam, you can read from 2.10.1. There are many, many things that Srimad Bhagavatam is offering us. Of all the things that Srimad Bhagavatam is offering us, the last part of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called Ashraya, which is considered as speciality of Srimad Bhagavatam. Generally, a Purana has got 5 Lakshanas. Srimad Bhagavatam is considered as the topmost Purana. A Purana deals with 5 subject matters. Number 1, creation. Number 2, recreation. Number three, it talks about dynasty. Number four, it talks about different geography, land and water. Number five, it is talking about Prajapati, how the civilizations evolved. But Srimad Bhagavatam talks about, even though it's Purana, it talks about 10 subject matters. And Prabhupada writes that the Ashraya part of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is transcendence, samam and bonam, where it is explained, everything culminates, rests in the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. One is called Ashrita, second is called Ashraya. Ashrita matlab the dependents requiring shelter, and Ashraya means the object or the person to whom we should take shelter. So we are Ashritas, need to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And these 10 subject matters, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, when they are spoken in the chain of disciplic succession, it helps one to gradually elevate his consciousness from animalistic consciousness to a self-realized consciousness. From Naradama to Narottama. It is explained that Srimad Bhagavatam anyone who tastes any portion of Bhagavatam, provided they are hearing from a bona fide source, even if one hears one half of the verse, one quarter of a verse, one single line of a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is purified. So we are going to discuss in the next 40 minutes two things. Number one, the position of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the entire Vedic schema of things. And number two, a simple flowchart of what happens through this journey of spiritual life. How we transform from the stage of Naradama to Narottama. So, in our journey to Krishna consciousness, we always struggle in between.
Welcome and thank you for choosing freeconferencecall.com. You are helping people around the world communicate for free. The recording has started. Muted.
Because of our association in this worldly science, because we are associating with matter, associating with sense gratificatory things, because we are involved in self-centered life, we continue to remain in ignorance. So a person is called Naradama, lowest amongst the mankind, is because of his choice of lifestyle. And Srimad Bhagavatam helps that person to transform. Sanatana Goswami glorifies Sarva Sastrabdi Piyusha Sarva Vedaika Satphala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya Sarva Lokaika Drik Prada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kali Dvanto Ditaditya Sri Krishna Parivartita. He says how Srimad Bhagavatam is Sarva Sastrabdi Piyusha. So let me give a quick snapshot on what is this Sarva Sastrabdi Piyusha from the words of Vyasadeva and how Vyasadeva has projected, positioned Srimad Bhagavatam. Basically, we have Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Itihasa, and Pancharatra. What is Shruti? Shruti means those knowledge which are heard what Krishna, Vishnu, Narayana spoke to Brahma and what Brahma spoke to Narada and various other rishis. And Narada spoke to Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva spoke to Sukadeva Goswami. So this knowledge is coming down. So Vedas are called Shrutis and they are called Apa Urushaya. Purusha means human beings, Apa Urusha. Urushaya means that which is spoken by human beings. Apa Urushaya means that which is not touched by human beings. And Apa Urushaya knowledge, when they are passed down through the chain of disciplic succession, as spoken by Srila Prabhupada in this purport, then all the knowledge coming in the parampara down till the rank and file, they are all called Apaurushaya so long as there is no adulteration happening through the process. So this Apaurushaya knowledge, finally, the Vedas, which are classified originally into, the one Veda classified into four Vedas. First, there are only Yajur Veda. Then Yajur became Rig, Yajur Sama, Atharva. That is why Veda is also called Samhitas, because in Vedas, all the mantras, prayers, songs, and various things are explained. So Vyasadeva realized that this whole science of spiritual knowledge as presented in Vedas, as Prabhupada writes in this purport, it talks about political, chemical, emotional, social, physical, so many signs that Vedas are covering. So they are all classified into different sects of Vedic knowledge. We recently had concluded an entire series of lecture on the tree of Vedic literature. We had around 10-day sessions on the tree of Vedic literature, where we spoke about different components of this tree of Vedic literature. What is Shruti, what is Smriti, what is Vedangas, what is Upanishads, what is Purana, what is Itihasa. So we spoke about that in detail. In that, we concluded saying that finally, when Vyasadeva studied about all that existed, he really thought that these are all not taking anybody anywhere. So he consolidated all the knowledge. He consolidated the science into something called as Vedanta Sutra. Sutra means formula or short phrases in which conclusions of all the Vedantas. Veda means knowledge. Vedanta means end of knowledge. Vedanta Sutra means that which aphorisms, which consolidates the conclusions of Vedanta. So by studying the six systems of philosophy, Vyasadeva has concluded Vedanta Sutra, and this Vedanta Sutra is considered as the basis for all the acharyas to further their school of thought. So let us directly talk from Vedanta Sutra onwards. Before that, there are many more components which is outside of this context. So this Vedanta Sutra has got, what does this Vedanta Sutra, you know, handles or deals with? Vedanta Sutra deals with the conclusions of Agamas, Vedangas, Upanishads. So Vedanta Sutra consolidates all of these things into a small pocket of understanding. Then Vyasadeva himself gave a natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. What does natural commentary mean? Natural commentary means the content, the entire subject matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when they are consolidated and the entire thematic or the theory of the entire philosophy is explained through a consolidated explanation, this is called natural commentary. There are two commentaries. One is called natural commentary. Second is called Bhashya. Bhashya means different Vaishnava acharyas, each of them, they picked up one sutra of Vedanta Sutra and they gave their commentary. Like Shankaracharya, who gave commentary on Vedanta Sutra and named it as Sharirika Bhashya. And Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, each of these acharyas, they also gave their commentaries on each of the sutra of Vedanta Sutra. So that is called Bhashya. So there is something called as devotional triangle. The left topmost portion is Vedanta Sutra, which is the essence, conclusion of all Smriti, Shruti, Upanishad, all of them, if they are, their understandings are consolidated and concluded, they are in Vedanta Sutra. The right top corner of the triangle is Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the natural commentary. Sutra is only just an aphorism, single liner or two liners. Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary which is elaboration of the sutra. And bottom portion of the triangle is about different commentaries. And these different commentaries, they carry different mood and different drive home point. And the way these commentaries are structured is each of the acharyas who have done the commentary, they have taken one verses of the Vedanta Sutra and they have given the comments. So this devotional triangle happened to be the basis on which every spiritual movement has been, or every school of thought has been structured. Further, all the studies are based on this. But then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and did something which is amazing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want us to miss out on the nectar that all the acharyas, Vaishnava acharyas have given. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he picked up the commentaries of all the Vaishnava acharyas, each of whom have challenged Sharirika Bhashya of Shankara, each of whom have challenged Buddha and all the heterodox school of thought, each of whom have very bona fidely, authentically established their worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But each of them gave different focuses. So Mahaprabhu, he picked up two principles from each of these acharyas and formed something called as Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. We spoke about this in one of the earlier sessions. I'm not sure, but these principles that Mahaprabhu has derived from each of these acharyas and finally made Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. And for Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, he has also tied all the Siddhanta together through the holy name, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, as a thread. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the pendant of this necklace. If at all we can consider every principle of two principles that he has picked up as different pearls, and the holy name as a thread connecting together, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered as the main dollar pendant that is helping us in understanding the entire commentaries of Vedanta Sutra. So the triangle that we spoke about, Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhashyas, was further taken up by our Vaishnava Acharyas in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, especially our Goswamis, up till Srila Prabhupada. They took little deeper into the science and they converted this triangle to a square. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrikim Vidin Vina Aikantiki Harir Bhakti Utpada Yaiva Kalpate. So, Rupa Goswami always say, the learning of Shruti and Smriti, Purana, Itihasa, Pancharatra, they should eventually culminate in glorifying the Supreme Lord, and we should learn them under the care of the disciplic succession. So, Srila Prabhupada and our recent Vaishnava Acharyas in Brahma Madhva Gaudi Sampradaya, they took this triangle of Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam and commentaries and they made it as a square for us to easily understand, assimilate. So, if you can draw a square, the top left corner of the square is called Upanishads. And bottom left corner of the square is Bhagavad Gita. And the top right corner is Vedanta Sutra. And bottom right corner is Bhagavad Gita. Sorry, Srimad Bhagavatam. I repeat, if you draw a square on a piece of paper, top left you write as Upanishads, bottom left you write as Bhagavad Gita, top right you write as Vedanta Sutra, bottom right is Srimad Bhagavatam. If you understand the square, we will be able to appreciate what Srila Prabhupada has given us. So what does Upanishads deal with? Upanishads deals with how to develop relationship with Supreme Lord. Upanishada means coming closer and learning about the spiritual science for the removal of ignorance. Nishada means removal of ignorance. Upanishada means by coming closer. Upanishad is something that talk between self-realized soul and self-realizing soul. That's what Srila Prabhupada is writing in the last sentence. So we need to learn the knowledge from a self-realized soul for us to get self-realization. So the Upanishad, which has got 108 in number, and all the Upanishads, different scholars, they give different understanding, different opinions, and different details. If somebody wants to understand the essence of all the Upanishads, they are in Bhagavad Gita. So if you remember, top left is Upanishad, which is helping us to remove the ignorance, which so many rishis in so many books in 108 Upanishads are explained in so many different ways. But instead of studying all the Upanishads, if somebody studies Bhagavad Gita, they get the essence of all the Upanishads in Bhagavad Gita. And the essence of Upanishads, the conclusion of Upanishads, along with all the conclusions of Smriti and knowledge, Vyasadeva has put in Vedanta Sutra, that is in the top right. So technically speaking, Vedanta Sutra talks about the conclusion of Upanishads. Bhagavad Gita talks about the essence of Upanishads. And Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the bottom right one, which is taking all of them together and gives us as one ripened fruit. So if somebody reads Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, especially from the parampara coming down the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what all benefit they have? They get the understanding of all the Vaishnava Acharyas, because Mahaprabhu has, in his Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, has taken up everything together. Number two, they get to study all the Vedic literature, Upanishads, Puranas, Itihasa, everything. They also get to understand the essence of Upanishads in Bhagavad Gita. And our Goswamis have added the cherry on the cake by giving us Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is our Pancharatra. What does Pancharatra mean? Pancharatra talks about three things: Achar, Upachar, as well as Prachar. Your behaviors, your offerings, and your preachings. So if somebody study Bhagavatam but does not have a proper achar, proper behavior, which Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu talks about 64 behaviors and 64 offerings and 64 principles of devotional service. So we call Nectar of Devotion as a code of conduct book. In a typical corporate structure, a person is considered as a qualified person to work in the organization only when he is having a proper code of conduct. He may be a genius scholar, very intelligent programmer, or anybody in that organization, but if his code of conduct is not proper, then he is thrown away from the corporation, from the organization. So for us, the code of conduct is taught in Nectar of Devotion. Now, if somebody studies Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of all the Vedic, all the Upanishads, when somebody studies Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra, which is the conclusion of all the Vedic literatures, and by studying these two, if they practice the code of conduct suggested by Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is derived from Narada Pancharatra, which is the practices for all of us, then what will happen to us? We will develop natural devotion towards the Supreme Lord. And to explain what does the natural devotion look like, Chaitanya Charitamrita is given by our Acharyas. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is speaking those science which is Bhagavatam in an application manner. Krishna as a devotee preaching and following Srimad Bhagavatam and showing the result of following Srimad Bhagavatam is written in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhupada writes in one of the purports in Madhya Leela, we studied that, where he says that these four books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are good enough for us to develop self-realization. One, to know about the direct instructions of Krishna and the different yoga systems, which is Bhagavad Gita, which is considered as the graduate study. Second is talking about the postgraduate study, wherein it talks about the transcendental loving relationship between the Lord and his devotees and the beauty of this Lord's surrender. And the third, Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered as PhD studies, postdoctoral studies, where the Lord is demonstrating by his own action about the activities of devotional service. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is our underlying backbone for our practices. So we are so indebted to Srila Prabhupada to have given us this science of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is not some ordinary science. If somebody has to go through all the Vedic literature in his one lifetime, they cannot do it with the intelligence that we have. But somehow, Srila Prabhupada has given them in a consolidated juice form so that we can appreciate, glorify, and definitely have some hopes in this life to go back home, back to Godhead. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, the context in which currently Mahaprabhu is explaining to Sanatana Goswami in Madhya Leela, is exactly what I was explaining in terms of Mahaprabhu's explanation on Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Sutra. He is telling what does the Vedanta Sutra contain, what are all the components of Vedanta Sutra, how they are eventually supposed to be directed towards surrendering to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So all of these details are explained by Mahaprabhu from verse number 90 onwards in this chapter. So this the summary study of what all the things that you studied is explained in this particular shloka, which is considered as a ripened fruit. So the second aspect that I want to speak of is how this Srimad Bhagavatam is taking us by coming in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the flowchart? How does our consciousness evolve? We were ignorant fools. But when we came in contact to in one Bhagavatam class, in one singular association with the self-realized soul, we started to develop some sort of a small inclination or inspiration or some sort of a doubt about our own choices in life. So we start to question about life. And when we start to question about life, we get in the association of devotees answers for these questions, and in that discussion, so when we have this Bhagavatam class, when we attend, even though we may have ignorance, even though we may have so many dirty things in our heart, just because of being in the Sangha of devotees and hearing this wonderful science, which is the ripened fruit, we get some clarity on why, what, when, who, how about life. Sambandha jnana Abhideya Jnana and Prayoja Jnana. The Vedanta Sutra has got four chapters. Two chapters on Sambandha Jnana, one chapter on Abhideya Jnana, and one chapter on Prayojana Jnana. And because Srimad Bhagavatam is an elaborate version of that, when somebody comes in contact with a Bhakta Bhagavata and devotee Bhagavata, his ignorance is mitigated and he is getting to get an answer for why this human form of life, why not something else, how, what, where, whom. So we get some intelligence. That is the benefit of being with a devotee, where our illusion is mitigated and we get to know about the reality. And when we get to know about the reality and when we apply the reality in our regular life, we get to see some changes and we get to get properly situated. And what does that properly situation means? We know to develop discrimination. We know to understand what is the purity in purpose. And when we act on that and make some spiritual progress, the discrimination that we developed gets matured into dedication. And the continuous process further purifies us from dedication to discipline. And the discipline will further us to develop the natural love, to form love into a determination. And the determination will take us towards the destination, which is back home, back to Godhead. So the part that I want to explain is that how ignorance gets mitigated. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate vidyute vijay grantis chidyante sarva samsayaha. Srimad Bhagavatam says that if somebody comes in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam, the ignorance is completely uprooted. And when it's getting completely uprooted, what is the track that it follows? What is the flow chart? We get illuminated with knowledge. Then when we start applying the knowledge, we are able to develop discrimination. Then from discrimination, we develop dedication. From dedication, we develop discipline. From discipline, we develop determination. From determination, we reach the destination. So we are so much indebted to our parampara because they gave this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. And even the most degraded consciousness person, when they come in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam through a Bhakta Bhagavata, they will be able to move from ignorance to destination. And our destination is Goloka Vrindavana Dham. So to summarize our conversation today, we discussed how Srimad Bhagavatam has got 10 subject matters. And of all the 10 subject matters, the last subject matter is called Ashraya, Muktir Ashraya. Is something very substantial and very important. And we discussed about Ashrita and Ashraya. We being the students and hankering ones, try to learn to surrender to the Supreme Lord, is what Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us through those 10 subject matters and finally culminating into Srimad Bhagavatam. Number 2, we discussed how Srimad Bhagavatam is Sarva Sastrabdi Piyusha, Sarva Vedaika Satfala, how this is nectar of all the Vedic literature, how this is the jewel of all the Vedic literature, how this is the epitome or the special conclusion of all the Vedic literature by going through the devotional triangle and devotional square. Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam and commentaries, which were existence prior to Mahaprabhu's advent. Then Mahaprabhu and Goswamis, they came and transformed this triangle to a square by their own commentaries and literatures and practices and integration and consolidation, and finally gave us Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhagavad Gita being the essence of Upanishads, Bhagavatam being the essence of Vedanta Sutra, natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra, the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita together helps us to practice, understand Krishna consciousness. With the help of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we mature in the practices to eventually realize the pure devotional service, which is demonstrated and directed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Leela. So we are highly indebted, and with this process of Krishna consciousness, we develop the discrimination, dedication, discipline, determination, and eventually destination. So by we following in the footsteps of our Goswamis, to begin with our spiritual master and Prabhupada, and eventually the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, we will definitely be a dutiful soldier, useful enough to spread the glories of our parampara and show our indebtedness for what we have been bestowed with. If we understand this, then we are the real students of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in this purport time and again that how all the emotions of devotion can only be understood only when we are having right conduct, right association, and the right source of knowledge. And that way, if we appreciate this Srimad Bhagavatam as appreciated by our acharyas, our life is very simple. Otherwise, Krishna consciousness and devotional life will become very, very complicated. For us, in this Kali Yuga, with the amount of intelligence that we are bestowed with, we do not have time, neither ability, nor the necessary arrangements for us to go through all the aspects of Vedic literature. In fact, the complications are further, where the society is completely boycotting anything to do with the spirituality under the classification of mythology. They are completely throwing them away. So we as students of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita have got a very greatest responsibility in reaching this knowledge to the humanity at large and winning more and more souls to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. So with this I end here. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shishi Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much. Thank you for the very nice class. I really appreciate the triangle and the square. That was very easy to remember. Very, very nice, Prabhu. And also how we were talking about the necklace, the central pendant being Bhagavatam, and the thread behind who that is holding the pearls being the holy name. That was also very relatable, very, very beautiful, Prabhu. Thank you for your association and very beautiful presentation on the entire Vedic canon. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Anybody else has any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for a beautiful class, Prabhu. I don't have any questions, but it was so beautiful, Prabhu.
Thank you. Sometimes, this conversations on the Vedic literature and how they are organized, because we use these words in an interoperable manner, but they have their own distinct position. We use Vedas, Vedic literature, scriptures, Vedanta, Vedanta Sutra, Bhagavatam, you know, Shastra. So we use these words quite common. So in one of the purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, if I'm right, it's first canto, first chapter, text number 7, if I'm right. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining a very interesting point. I think it's 1.1.7. Yes, correct. And the purport Prabhupada says that one can sit on the Vyasasana only after being conversant in all systems of philosophy, so that one can present fully the theistic views of the Bhagavatam in defiance to all the other systems. Srila Suta Goswami was the proper teacher, and therefore the sages of Naimisharanya elevated him to the Vyasasana. So, Prabhupada says that Srila Vyasadeva is designated herein as the personality of Godhead because he is authorized, empowered incarnation. So Prabhupada says that we are very fortunate. I mean, if you understand this purport, for us to understand the six systems of Vedic philosophy, it's a very complicated and maybe sometimes boring also. Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Yoga, Karma Mimamsa, Purva Mimamsa. So they're all very complicated ones, and half of them is not talking about God, half of them are talking about their own interpretation on sense gratification. So Prabhupada says one can appreciate, preach the theistic views of Bhagavatam when we understand those sciences also. And he's saying that one can sit in Vyasasana only after being conversant. But my realization is that if somebody is conversant in the Bhaktivedanta purports, where Prabhupada has brought in the views of all these wonderful people, if somebody has read 10th canto, there's a chapter, I'm not sure if it's 83rd chapter or 85th chapter, where one chapter where Vedas are glorifying God. In that chapter, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they are giving the commentary, and they are explaining about all this Vedic literature. In that chapter, very nicely they are glorifying how these six systems of philosophy, they are so dry and they are completely deviating persons from Srimad Bhagavatam and taking us to the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are, the more you think about Srimad Bhagavatam, the more we have to be indebted to Srila Prabhupada for what he has given for us, I mean at least for me, to understand the six systems of Vedic philosophy and go through all the details of them is really overwhelming. And so, all glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you for bringing that topic also. Yes, as you mentioned, it was so nice that Srila Prabhupada has covered everything. Just by reading Srila Prabhupada's purport, one doesn't have to go through that, but just by going through Srila Prabhupada's purport, one gets everything. Thank you for that, Prabhu. That was a very, very, very interesting and a sweet point that you made.
No, otherwise, we cannot even sit in the Vyasasana. I'm just wondering, every time when I read that, you know, purport, and first of all, we are sitting in the Vyasasana out of so much guilt, and off late, when the corona has started to happen, I was giving online sessions. I'm stuck in USA. I was going to go back to India on 22nd of March. But then now I'm kind of, confinement for refinement. So every day having two to three sessions with all our students in Mumbai. So I was telling yesterday to our students that when I give an online class, I look at my monitor, and in front of the monitor, I see my own face, which is the right way to give Srimad Bhagavatam, because you are speaking to your own self. Because generally we give to a lot of audiences and you get to feel that you are a scholar and a pandita. But the moment you see the screen, you are only yourself seen, nobody else is seen. Suddenly you get to realize that, yes, my dear, this is for you. And if others understood or not understood, I mean, they have to, that's their lookout. But then it's important that we should speak for ourselves. So from that perspective, are we good enough to sit in the Vyasasana? We do not. But then when we repeat the words of Acharyas, the Apavrusheya is maintained, because we speak what the Acharyas have spoken and not bring in any of your doggish mentality, then we are safe. So that is our hope. So thank you so much for engaging us in such services.
Hari Bol Prabhu. That was another very good realization. Yes, that is so true. Online classes make us more humble. Yes, very nice.
Okay, I have another student asking another question. So I will read that question. So the question is this. What I feel is I'm a weak-hearted person, since in every problem or in every situation I'm trying to look at Krishna and somehow handling in different manner. I always want to prove whatever good is happening with me is only because of Krishna. Is this running away from the problem? Because weak-hearted persons, yesterday we were discussing in one session, which is about apasampradayas, where it said that we tend to become a victim of apasampradayas if we are a weak-hearted person or an ignorant person or a nama-aparadis. So if somebody is a nama-aparadi, if somebody is an ignorant person, if somebody is a weak-hearted person, then they become victim of apasampradaya and will not take advantage of these purports of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the question is coming from there. So the response is that by we taking shelter of Krishna is not at all considered as weak-hearted. In fact, that is considered as the right direction. Whenever Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was talking about weak-heartedness, the weak-heartedness refers to we fearing that if I go to Krishna, if I go to the Lord, if I go to the devotees, I may need to give up my existing attachments. I may need to give up my, if I go and surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, he may ask me to give up some things. So fearing that, how can I give up that? So I want both the sides of the life. I want Krishna also. I want materialistic life also. With that frame of mind, we are hesitant to go closer to Krishna. One time Srila Prabhupada was coming from Kumbh Mela. When he was coming from Kumbh Mela, he was coming in the train along with some group of Western devotees. And in near Surat, some business community members, they went and met Srila Prabhupada, knowing that Srila Prabhupada is a great sadhu. So generally these all businessmen, they want to take blessings of the sadhu so that they can multiply their business. So they went and asked, Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, please give your blessings. So Srila Prabhupada said, smilingly, saying that all these Western men, and he, touches hand on the shaved head, said that our blessings is this shaved head. So look at all these men, all my students, these are our blessings. So the businessmen who came and said that, Swamiji, hum baad mein aate hain, we'll come later, Hare Krishna, saying that they left that place. Because nobody wants to surrender to Krishna, because they want both sides of the life. That is why I used to always say that, when we chant this prayer, Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhakti rahai suki tvai. When we chant this prayer as a Sanskrit prayer, we feel like a very great devotee. But the same prayer you chant in your own local language with the meaning, consciously attending to that meaning, chant that prayer, probably we will not be able to complete that prayer. Because in the prayer what it is said, I do not want any money, any wealth, any follower, any name, any fame. Life after life, I am supposed to be your servant. So if you consciously make that prayer, somewhere we get nervousness. What if Krishna, gives satastu, so be it. So we have this weak-heartedness. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was referring about weak-heartedness, he was not referring about we running to Krishna for help. That is what Krishna wants us. In fact, Krishna in Vrindavan, he constantly creates trouble to Vrindavan Vasis to show it to us, saying that, look at these guys. Every problem they run after to me. Every time when there is a problem, so they come to Krishna, please save me, please save me. So that is how they did that. when Krishna was going in the boat with all the gopis, Krishna was dressing like a boatman. Krishna said that right now there is a whirlwind going to come, the boat is going to drown, so that it is getting overweight. So please throw away all the unwanted things that you have. So he made gopis to throw away one thing. He says, no, still it is overweight. So he made them remove all the jewelry and throw them to the Yamuna river. If they're still overweight, he asked them to remove their clothes. And so Krishna was teasing everybody so that somehow or other they take shelter of Krishna. So Krishna's agenda is by hook or crook. Because we told him, we prayed to him, we surrendered to him. We loved him and said, Krishna, I love you and I want to come to you. So he will make sure that somehow or other we reach that point. If he directly Siddhartha say, with proper consciousness surrender to him, okay. If he try to act smart, then he will go on removing one thing. Vraje prasiddham navanita choram gopanganaamscha dukula choram. He'll become a thief and withdraw one things and make a surrender to him. So weak hearted refers not about we again and again going to Krishna and not standing by ourselves. Weak hearted means fearing not to go to Krishna because we will lose our material pleasure. Make sense? Okay. That's about it. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna.
Oh. Go ahead, Mandati. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you, Prabhu, for a beautiful answer and very nice question by that Prabhuji, whoever asked, or Mataji, I don't know, but it was very nice and you are giving very detailed explanation about surrendering in fear with to Krishna. You know, it's very nice. It's not a weak, it's a correct way to approach. Yeah, it was very nice, Prabhuji. And the very nice examples of gopis, how they surrender. It very practical, Prabhu, to understand it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. So, Prabhuji, these Gopas, they were having that this is something kind of dangerous, but still they are not fearful because Krishna is there. Say, oh, no, don't worry, Krishna will take care of everything. So for us, Prabhuji, we are not supposed to, put Krishna, in trouble. We don't want Krishna bother him or something like that, Prabhuji. We don't want, we just want to serve Krishna. We don't want to ask anything in return. So, what to understand, Prabhuji, the mood of Gopas, they were completely surrendered and they'll say, oh, Krishna is there, don't worry. They were going in the Gasura's mouth and they were not fearful. So, for us, what should we, now coronavirus is going on, say, oh, Krishna will take care and I will go out and do whatever I want. So how to understand this, Prabhuji?
Great. So, thanks to Rupa Goswami, who knew all of our minds, the nature of the people. He has very, very nicely, the contribution of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami in our devotional life is so nice. Because, and of course, thanks to Prabhupada who has made it available to us. He has given different classifications and evolution of consciousness even in devotional life. We cannot imitate different, moods of devotees in a Krishna consciousness because too soon, if somebody imitates the mood of Gopas, Gopis, basically it is like this. The way we should understand is, the reason these all pastimes are given is to know where is your target, where are you going. You are supposed to hear all of them, take inspiration from them, develop desire to reach the destination, but not imitate that now. So, Prabhupada writes, Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, there's a shloka where it talks about pretender. I'm not sure about the exact shloka. So, maybe 3.6 or 3.7, if I'm right. So, Prabhupada writes that let us not try to pretend or let us not try to imitate or let us not try to do anything just because it is explained or directed. There are so many things that I explained. We may not be able to do it. So, number one, when you hear about gopas, gopis, all the surrendered souls, completely surrendered to Krishna, we hear them, take inspiration from them, keep that as a target and our source of prayer or source of surrender and source of inspiration and our destination also. And also, we understand where are we currently standing in our Krishna consciousness. And as suggested by Rupa Goswami, slowly, step by step, by step by step, make progress. This is number one. Number two, Giriraj Maharaj circulated one of the letters of Srila Prabhupada during this coronavirus on what should be the consciousness of the students of Krishna consciousness, where he says, devotees are not stupid. Devotees are supposed to be intelligent, that you are supposed to fear for Maya. Oh, I have Krishna, so let me go and face Maya. That is stupidity. Fearing for Maya is the right way of dovetailing intelligence. When there is something dangerous, acknowledging them as dangerous is not about coward. It is about our usage of right usage of intelligence and properly understand that we are supposed to utilize them, utilize this challenge in the best possible way, which most of the devotees are doing by doing online kirtan, online classes, more reading, more discussions, more katha, whatever that is, which is nice. Rather than, going out in the streets and showing off, saying that nothing will happen to me, I am a Krishna devotee. There's a very nice story Jayapataka Maharaj, shared. I think that was going viral. I think it was there in the group also, where he said that there was one devotee who challenged that I am a great devotee of the Lord. If a flood came in a village and one devotee was challenging that if I am, the God is truth and if I am a devotee of the Lord assured that he will come and personally save. So he will come and save, I will not take any help. Second time help came, third time help came, fourth time help came, fifth time help came. Finally he drowned and died. And when he faced the Lord, he questioned the Lord. My dear Lord, why you did not come to save me? Every time I kept on saying that you will come and save me and you never came. He said, you stupid guy. Five times I came and repeatedly told, please get out. You are such a stupid, you didn't even hear my, advice. So what can I do? So sometimes we ignore this warning, thinking that these are all just a bogus warning. But these warnings are warnings from the Supreme Lord so that we should use our intelligence. So take the reality check. Understand where we stand, operate and practice Krishna consciousness from that level, keeping in target that our destination is to reach to the level of Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayor, Dasa, 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 Anudas. So I'm sure with the help of the Association of Devotees, we will make necessary progress and reach there. Am I making sense?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions?
Gauranga Mataji.
Okay. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Yeah.
Yeah, several things. Basically, I'm going to ask you to repeat the whole quest. But no, actually, there's a few things that I couldn't catch. Like an answer to the Prabhu's question, I don't think I really caught the answer about, like, if you have fear, due to weakness of heart to surrendering. I think that was the question, basically. And so, you gave the story of the gopis, having to take off things one by one. So what is actually the answer for if you do have such weakness of heart and surrender?
The weakness of the heart. The question was, from a thread of a conversation that we have been having the last several weeks in our congregation. So the question was that as a weak-hearted person, who takes it to apasampradaya? That was the point that I mentioned in that conversation. They don't take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, we were discussing why somebody does not take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. There were three reasons. One is because of Nama Aparad. Number two, one is ignorant. Number three is weak-hearted person. So the Mataji asked the question that I am also weak-hearted, Prabhu. Everything, every problem, every challenge, I go and run after Krishna, run to Krishna. So how to understand this? So I was explaining that going to Krishna and surrendering to Him is not the definition of weak-hearted. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj explains, weak-hearted means you are hesitant to go to Krishna, fearing that if I go to Krishna, I may need to relinquish all my materialistic assets. They may ask me to give up some of my desires. They may ask me to give up some of my eating habits, my other habits, which I am attached to. So just because they will ask me to do that, like I don't go to hospital because the doctor may ask me to do a surgery, so let me, you know, live with the pain. I may not go to the doctor because I may be given an injection, so I may not go fearing that. So weak-heartedness was referring to that. I was saying that Krishna definitely wants us to become dependent on Him all the while. So that is considered as devotion. So hence I was giving the example of gopis and Vrindavan Vasis, where Krishna gave trouble repeatedly to demonstrate and show to the whole world how to be a real dependent by giving them trouble. So they were going for every second thing to Krishna and surrendered to Him. So that is not considered as weak-hearted, that is considered as a glorious thing, which is what we need to learn. That was my point.
I was just curious too, in that story, you know, with the gopis and the boats and everything, you know, He was asking them to take off jewelry, and then, you know, and then finally He asked them to take off their clothes. Did they actually take off their clothes also?
No, no. They were finally, I mean, so the whole pastime was this. They were, Krishna wanted to tease them, so this was going on between a rasa, between gopis and Krishna. Sometimes Krishna wanted to tease after these girls, and sometimes these girls tease Krishna. So initially Krishna dressed himself as a boatman. Then Krishna said that, no, this boat is going to drown, so please throw off your things. And they threw off, then they threw off your ornaments, and they threw off. So then one thing they kept on throwing off, and then Krishna said that, you want to take off your clothes. The gopis were very shy and they really thought it's a foul play, and I don't know the whole pastime into the end of detail, but finally Krishna, you know, made them to surrender, said, plead them, come on their knees, and in return I think Krishna asked some favor. If you cannot do this, or some sort of thing. Maybe somebody else can fill in the gap on what Krishna eventually did it. But the message was that they finally came on their knees and pleaded Krishna, hey, my dear boatman, please somehow save us, please don't let us drown. So Krishna had a good laugh, saying that, hey, you made a fun of me, now I'm going to make fun of you. So that's the kind of exchanges that they had. But the message was that eventually the entire Vrindavan, the mood is that Krishna is, you know, dependent on gopis and gopas and the bhaktas there. And the gopas, gopis and devotees are dependent on Krishna, and that is a transcendental dealing between them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you know, I still have that question. I mean, I understood how you reiterated that Prabhu's or Mataji's question about weakness of heart. But you know, so just as you know, you shouldn't avoid the doctor because you're afraid of surgery, right? But still, you know, even though you know the intelligent thing to do is to still see the doctor despite your fear, how to keep that fear from being an obstacle, you know? Because, you know, the heart can be more powerful than the intelligence. So how to overcome that fear? This, you know, that fear of surrender where you're afraid of what Krishna might demand of you, like that.
The fear to be dovetailed in Krishna's service by following the directions coming from the higher authorities. Higher authorities includes Shastra, Sadhu, Guru. So, and in our own personal lives, Krishna also communicates to us through other channels wherein he trying to help us through friends, relatives, families, troubles, pains. So a devotee need to always understand that I need to, Prabhupada never wanted us to be a fanatical devotee, just simply bookish guys. So he says that whatever that is needed, if at all you have to take medical treatment, you take the treatment, but depend on the Supreme Lord for the result of it. He was trying to always insist that we need to definitely depend on Krishna. And depending on Krishna is not some artificial or some sort of a sentimental thing. Depending on Krishna is a scientific thing. So we are saying, I am devotee of the Lord, so I will not execute any of the needed medications or any treatment that are needed for me or any precautionary measures that are needed for me. I will still do that, but for the net result, I will be dependent on Krishna. Sometimes even after precautions, you may be punished or you may be going through the difficulty. So you take the result, end result, as whatever Krishna offers, as Krishna's blessings, and not blame him, but at the same time follow the directions given by the spiritual authorities. I mean, the DBC messages or the temple president's messages or the administrative body's messages, sometimes the administrative bodies may not necessarily be spiritually equipped. But even though from a transactional perspective, certain directives are supposed to be followed. When Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, there was some problem at some point in time. So a group of devotees wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada gave an answer to two different answers to the same set of problem, because there were two opinions. So, but major drive home point that Srila Prabhupada says is, obey the authority till the authority is replaced or, you know, new authority is established. So, because authority is an empowered person, and an empowerment has got some power. So, even though the so-called administration may have certain deviations in their ideologies, but with respect to such a transactional guidances, we may have to follow, or we may have to have a higher amount of faith and surrender to accept any result as Krishna's blessings upon us. But both goes hand in hand, is what my point is.
But I'm saying that even before you accept the authority or approach the authority, you might need some kind of courage to do that, to even approach. Forget, what to speak of, accepting the outcome of following, but even to approach the authority for guidance, for out of fear.
Right.
Of what they might ask of you.
Right. So that is why generally the encouragement is that hear the activities of the devotees of the past. So if you hear the past episodes, you get motivated. Oh, that's what happened for Tukaram Maharaj. Oh, that's what happened for, Kolavecha Sridhar. Oh, that's what happened for Vasudev Leper. Oh, that's what happened for Sanatana Goswami. Oh, that's what happened for hippies. Oh, that's what happened for happies. So when you hear about the realizations, that gives you motivation. So we have these realization sessions to share. Oh, this is how Krishna helped me. Oh, this is how Krishna helped me. Oh, Krishna came in my dream. Oh, Krishna came to us as a devotee's guidance. So Krishna personally interacts with us. It's a real. It's not a fake one. Only that we need to learn to recognize, identify them, and try to, work on them. So I'm sure when we keep hearing these Bhagavatams from a Bhagavata, and also have Bodhayanta Parasparam, have some one-on-one, heart-to-heart conversations, sometimes share the secrets. Mataji, in the last time when I was in trouble, this was things that was going on in my headspace, but then so many prayers, so many support systems, this, when I opened Bhagavatam, I got direct answer from Bhagavatam. As Prabhupada writes that Bhagavatam is like a desire tree, all our desires are fulfilled. These are all really going to happen to us. And when they happen to us, we definitely feel our conviction gets, more and more stronger. So we keep hearing these realizations is what my suggestion is, to develop the courage to practice Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Prabhu. Also, what was that reference you gave for the 10 subjects of Bhagavatam? Where did we find that? Is it the second canto, you said?
The 10 subject matters of Bhagavatam?
Yeah.
2:10:1. Second canto,
okay.
10th chapter, text number
1. 2:10:1. And I think one other thing I want to ask you is, when you were discussing about the bhashyas, you know, the commentaries of the acharyas of the other three sampradayas, the thing that constitutes bhashya is it their commentary on Vedanta Sutra?
Yes.
Is that what? Okay.
So Vedanta
okay.
Sutra has sutra by sutra, aphorism by aphorisms. They picked up every single aphorism and, you know, compiled as bhashya, and bhashya was needed for them to establish their school of thought. And one of their important agenda of their school of thought is to counteract Mayavada. So bhashya was important because Shankaracharya was the first one who gave bhashya to Vedanta Sutra, and his bhashya is called Saririka Bhashya. So Saririka
yeah.
Bhashya, how, you know, the Lord is impersonal, so all the Vaishnava Acharyas had to counteract using the same sutra by giving another explanation and counter them. So that way, that's why the bhashya was very...
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then also you said that... what was the relationship that you gave between the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu and the four points of the square, Upanishads, Gita, Vedanta Sutra, Bhagavatam? What relationship did you, you know, that cherry on the cake?
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu helps us to apply, because Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is Pancharatra. Pancharatra means five types of things that are taught in Pancharatra, where you are taught to, you know how to worship festivals. So many details about our practices. Prabhupada says, if you learn all the philosophy, but do not know how to apply that philosophy, how to practice that philosophy, then we have a problem. So, Nectar of Devotion teaches us about Achar, which means 64 behavioral principles, and Upachar, 64 processes of worship, and also 64 principles of devotional service, and 64 qualities of the Supreme Lord, and various other ways by which this devotion needs to be practiced in one's life in terms of different gradations of devotion. So hence, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu happens to become the code of conduct book. So by reading Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, by understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, we will be able to apply Srimad Bhagavatam in one's life.
Okay, and those five aspects of Pancharatra, I know you said preaching, offering, making offerings, I guess deity offering, right? Offering.
Okay. The Pancharatra, five components of Pancharatra are, I'll tell you. Number one, Pancharatra is talking about festivals. Number two, Pancharatra is talking about deity worship. Number three, Pancharatra is talking about daily worship, deity worship, daily worships, in terms of the daily practices, sadhana. Number four, Pancharatra talks about matter, spirit, Supreme Lord, and how they are interconnected and eventually directed towards the Supreme Lord. And the fifth, Pancharatra is talking about yoga, how to link our life to the process of spirituality. These are the five components of Pancharatra.
Yeah, okay, how to link our daily lives, basically, you know, the activities of our daily lives.
Yes.
To spirituality.
Yes.
That sounds like... I don't know, would you call that karma yoga?
Karma yoga is one of the components that Krishna is eventually explaining in Bhagavad Gita. yoga, yeah, any yoga process which can link to the Supreme Lord. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is mainly talking about Bhakti Yoga. But general Pancharatra, there are many Pancharatras. Narada Pancharatra. Then we have Pancharatra called, Lakshmi Pancharatra. So there are different Pancharatra. Pancharatra means five systems where we are trying to, Pancha means, actually technically speaking, Pancharatra means five nights. So we talk about...
Five what?
Nights.
It means five. No, I'm not catching the word. How do you spell? Five what?
Day, night.
N-I-G-H-T. Oh, okay.
So Pancharatra can be explained in many, many ways. But so the idea is that it is a literature. Okay. Let me go a little more detail if at all you are interested. In Pancharatra, basically it is not part of Vedas. Pancharatra is meant for those people who can't follow Vedas, who are born Shudras, who does not have any samskaras, but at the same time they have the qualities or they have inclination to surrender to the Supreme Lord. So Pancharatra is helping them to get qualified. So in Vedic literature, for studying Vedas, you need to have certain qualifications and prerequisites. So in Kali Yuga, everybody is born Shudra. So Pancharatra is teaching the process by which surrendering to a bona fide spiritual master. How to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, taking initiation from him and getting qualified to worship deities. So Pancharatra is something that is circumventing the evil effects of non-Varnashrama society. A society which is not following Varnashrama cannot properly apply Vedic system, because Vedic system is not only directives. Vedic system is about procedures, people, processes, ingredients, and various things. Because all those things are non-existent in a non-Varnashrama society, so Pancharatra was needed to give us those qualifications and enablement and empowerment. So Pancharatra procedures explain that a person born in a Shudra family can get qualified by taking initiation from a spiritual master and by doing certain practices in his life and purify his existence and eventually go back to Godhead. That way Pancharatra becomes a very imperative, important process for us to take up in Krishna consciousness. That is why Prabhupada asked Gopalabhatta Goswami, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, there is a book called Hari Bhakti Vilas, compiled by Sanatana Goswami. And Gopalabhatta Goswami gave commentary also on some editing of Hari Bhakti Vilas. And the Hari Bhakti Vilas is one aspect of Pancharatra which talks about temple worship festivals. Then Gopalabhatta Goswami compiled a book called Sat Kriya Sara Deepika, which talks about samskaras, marriages, all different paddhatis, how you cremate, how you perform upanayana samskara, how you perform marriage, conception, garbhadana samskara, so many details are given. So basically, a person is born Shudra, samskaras makes a person a Brahmana. So Pancharatra helps us in circumventing the evil effects of the non-Varnashrama society and helping us to get situated in the bhakti process.
I wonder why it's called nights, five nights.
I don't know.
So just by going through samsara ceremony, a person can, I mean, it sounds a little simplistic that a person can go from Shudra to Brahmana simply by going through samsara ceremony.
Yes, that is the benefit of Kali Yuga. That is not possible in the previous Yugas. Because in Kali Yuga, because there is no arrangement, it is like this. I was talking to some college student over here. Here, after you finish grade 12, for you to go to college, you have to do SAT, ACT, this test, that test, so many tests. But now, because we are having corona and you cannot conduct all these competitive exams, the universities are coming up with a new rule saying that if you write your essays very nicely, your admission will be based on the essays. So it is not a regular practice. Regular practice is you have to appear all these entrance competitive exams, qualify yourself to get enrolled into a university. But now because of corona, half of the exams and colleges are not functioning. So then what do? So then they come up with a new rule and try to circumvent the regular process. Similarly, in Kali Yuga, you cannot, suppose somebody asks you, Mataji, only if you perform Ashwamedha Yajna, you can go back home, back to Godhead. What can you do? You cannot do anything. I mean, mm-hmm. we won't even get to get any ingredient for the Ashwamedha Yajna, what to speak of performing the Ashwamedha Yajna, or anything right. for that matter. So mm-hmm. these are all arrangements. That is exactly what Mahaprabhu is repeatedly saying, Prabhupada is repeatedly saying, guys, Kali Yuga is bad, but it's very good also. Just imagine if you miss this chance in Kali Yuga and you are posted in one Satya Yuga, you may have to, you know, perform austerities for 60,000 years and do certain things in an appropriate manner. And in other yugas, offense is considered even if you think. Here in Kali Yuga, offense is counted only when you do an offense. But in Satya Yuga, if you think of stealing somebody's house, you are punished. But now if I think of, you know, robbing from somebody's house, I'm still given a chance till I do it. Then only I'm punished. There's so many leeways that are there in Kali Yuga, and so many benefits are there in Kali Yuga, so let us latch onto it. As a businessman, you know, people say this corona has crippled business as well as it has helped many businesses. Many people have figured out that they don't need offices. They can work from home and they can, you know, save their cost. There are so many side benefits that, you know, people could think of. So we are very much indebted to Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for giving us this wonderful process. Otherwise, for us to go through this, all the ladder of yoga and finally reaching to Krishna has become a nightmare.
So a person who, for example, takes, you know, Hayanam initiation, that initiation alone can take them from Shudra to Brahman level.
Yes. Yes.
Or just
by chanting the holy name of the Lord, we get qualified enough to become considered as a self-realized soul.
But some scar ceremony, for example, like, you know, garba, I forget how you say the whole word, garba something, you know, for the pregnant lady, right? For the sake of the
yes.
child. She does that ceremony. Does that mean that child is born now Brahman?
That child is born with an ability to become a Brahman. See, it is like this. At every stage, for example, you study very well in your high school and you got enrolled in Harvard. Okay? And
yeah.
on the first day of enrolling in the university, in Harvard University, you'll call everybody and give them a party. Hey, you know what? I got enrolled in Harvard because of whatever, you know, achievement. But then just because you got enrolled in Harvard University does not, you know, discount you from studying the remaining 4 years you are going to be in the university. Just because of your hard work, you got enrollment. That's great. But remaining time you are going to be in the university, you have to study. So similarly, by me becoming a devotee or God to Garbhadhana Samskar, you have an easier chance or better consciousness, better ability. You are bestowed with better arrangements to become a devotee. But if you do not take advantage of that and start jumping up and down saying that I was born through Garbhadhana Samskar, so I am a born Brahmana, then you are going to, you know, get the short end of the stick.
Mm-hmm. So the ceremony just makes it more conducive situation for you to become devotee.
Yes.
Okay, Prabhu.
Very last
question, just a repetition. The three points of the triangle were, what were the three points of the
left,
triangle?
The left part of the triangle is Vedanta Sutra, right top is Srimad Bhagavatam, and the bottom is commentaries, Bhashyas.
No, wait. The left bottom is Sutra.
No.
And then,
if you put however the triangle is, there are three aspects of triangle. If you put inward triangle,
yes,
or so one is one end is Vedanta Sutra,
mm-hmm,
other end is Srimad Bhagavatam, and the center, the single one is Bhashyas.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you.
I could keep you on longer, but I know everybody wants to go.
It's okay. I mean,
but
I'm okay.
Thank you so much. Yeah. But,
Hare Krishna.
Okay, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Koti Koti, Dandavat Pranam to you, your sincere seva, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudevji Jai. Prabhuji, I understand that much only that up to 10th standard is Bhagavad Gita study, and 10th to graduation is the Bhagavatam study, and master is Shishi Chaitanya Charanamrita. Prabhuji, I am very far to understand, but I understand that much only that from today. From today, I start to read Srisi Chaitanya Charanamrita, which is, Prabhuji, whatever you are explaining, like it is, there is one Prabhuji in South India, and he is reading the Ulta Srisi Bhagavad Gita. Like that, Prabhuji, it is little hard for me to understand Vedas and today's lecture. So I decide that at least from today, 15 minutes, I read Srisi Chaitanya Charanamrita regularly. Koti Koti Dhanwat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. As usual, very, very nectarian class. Pray for me that I will show Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Shri Radha Gopinath so, so sincerely. Hari Hari Gauranga.
All Krishna Srila Prabhupada, thank you for your being such an enthusiastic, humble role model to all of us.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for beautiful class and nice question-answer session. If there are no more questions for Prabhuji, we can end the call here. Is there anybody having any questions? Okay. Once again, thank you so much, Prabhuji. I would like to offer my obeisances to you and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpa Tarupyasya Kripa Sindhu Pya Vacha Patitanam Pavanipyo Vaishnavipyo Namo Nama Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrindaki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai He is great Ram Girdhari Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for beautiful class.
Thank you,
Hare
Krishna, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Koti Koti Dhanvat.